At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, a returning Jesse Billington. We're back to preview the 11th round of the 2025 Formula One season, the Austrian Grand Prix. To do this, I'm joined by Mr. Timo Albers-Daly, who has been holding down the fort. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you, Mr. Billington, the returning officer to the podcast. I'm refreshed off a 2-week break since Canada, and we're getting into the part of the season where it's going to be a hard slog for everyone involved because it's just going to be relentless on all fronts, but otherwise pretty good. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I've utilised the past few weeks to enjoy a little bit of a holiday, Corfu and Albania. Worthwhile a visit, interesting history, lovely hiking, and pretty good food and drink, and also great company for watching the Canadian Grand Prix. Found a very small restaurant that had Albanian Sky Sports on, and the general sort of raucous of Albanian cries of, what the hell have you done that for, when Lando Norris ballsed up his overtake, was quite good for audience participation.
I also predict that much like myself, whilst watching it, commentary, whilst watching it, the drivers then watching it afterwards, that Albanian commentary also did not delay in making reference to 2011 Hamilton and Button, as seemed to be the echo chamber around the world at that point, which was quite amusing to see just how quickly everyone who immediately saw that made reference to it and went, I've seen this one.
My Albanian isn't strong enough to have been able to translate what the commentators were saying, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Probably safe to assume.
Probably safe to assume, yes, yeah. If you are Albanian and do listen to this podcast and watched it with the Albanian commentary, let us know. Did they say Canada 2011, Button Hamilton? It'd be interesting to know. But anyway, with that out of the way, we'll dive into some actual news that isn't just Jesse's been on holiday. And that is that Alex Dunn and Dino Beganovic are set to take part in FP1 in Styria. Alex Dunn, obviously, with McLaren, and Dino Beganovic with Ferrari. Meanwhile, in other FP1 news, announced a long way ahead of Silverstone, Arvid Lindblad will run in Ryuki Tsunoda's Red Bull seat, which is... don't want to read too much into that. Obviously, they need to run someone in both of those Red Bull seats. Just so funny that obviously after rushing Lindblad through his super license to get him into FP1 sessions, they then immediately put him into Yuki's seat at what sort of Red Bull's home race near their factory, which sort of is, I feel there's some symbolism.
Arvid Lindblad's home race as well.
Yes.
Bear in mind that as well too. Lindblad makes sense of the three of these. However, you say about the rush process with a super license. He was claiming last week in a press conference that the timing of his super license acquisition was purely coincidental and that they applied for it back in February. It just so happened that it's all kind of materialized at this point in time. I personally took that with a little pinch of salt, but I can't really blame him if he's being asked to say that. The timing was a bit too sus. The Red Bull seat, I'd be surprised if they put a rookie in there. I mean, they put a relative rookie in there before, but at the same time, you would hope that they would learn. And he's had some private testing, which is more than most people get when they get to have that Red Bull seat. But I could quite easily see him at Racing Bulls in 26, because either Hadjar or Lawson, let's face it, at the moment, probably Hadjar would be the obvious driver to put into that second seat should things continue as they are. And he is the natural next driver on their list to then go into the junior team alongside possibly Liam Lawson. It would be nice to have some continuity there for more than 5 minutes and for Lawson to actually get more time to develop, because it seems such a shame for him in the grand scheme of things if he's been trying to get into that F1 team for years and years and years and then it's just hooked out by the end of not even a full season with that team at that point. He still wouldn't have been able to do that because of the Red Bull shenanigans at the start of the year. So that bit makes sense. Dunn and Beganovic, it's only realistically the closest either of them will ever get to racing in Formula 1. But again, they're doing, well, Dunn's doing decently in Formula 2 at the moment. Beganovic hasn't come to fruition yet this year in ways that we would have hoped. But it's good for them. Good racing experience keeps them fresh, I suppose. And ultimately picks the bots that both teams have been one of their F1 sessions for rookie driver out of the way.
Yeah, Dunn is replacing Norris and Bogdanovich is replacing Leclerc for this weekend. I think Ferrari will touch on them in a bit as well. They've got an interesting one with Bogdanovich. And I think, again, F2, he's moved. This is his first season in F2, isn't it, Bogdanovich? So it takes a bit of. We often, is it you? Yeah, yes. We often say it's best just to sort of take a season to get your feet under the table and then really go for a stormer in F2. So it's not all bad for him. So we'll see how he gets on, see how his performance looks. Obviously, the F2 cars, the teams are still figuring out how to properly run them. They're tricky little things. So yeah, FP1 could be a good chance for Bogdanovich to really prove why he's still part of that Ferrari unit. Meanwhile, speaking of young drivers, young talent moving up, Mary Boyer has joined Aston Martin's Driver Academy as their first driver. Their words, not mine, which does beg a bit of the question about Jack Crawford, Jess Hawkins, Felipe Drugovich, and Tina Housman, because what are
Well,
they?
because as far as we were aware, they were in the Aston Martin driver academy
Yeah, we
until
thought this
now,
already
and
existed with them. So unless they've like started from scratch, they're doing like the Alpine 100-day plan or 100-race plan or something, and just every
same
now
thing
and then.
these days.
Yeah, they just sort of replace the whole system. I don't know. This is a
Yeah,
backward pass.
it's a curious one because I suppose you would then argue if you're Aston Martin that what Drogovic is a reserve driver, Crawford's a stand reserve driver, Jess Hawkins is a development, and Tina Housman, we don't have a label for, but we're supporter in F1 Academy for the rest of this year, and then we'll support someone else next year because she can't be in F1 Academy anymore. And that's why Mary Boyer is there now. But very odd. And Mary Boyer is an interesting choice. He's a name that you and I are obviously familiar with because we've watched Formula 3 for a number of years now. But that in itself is an interesting point because this is his third full season in Formula 3 now. He finished in 17th in this first year, 15th in his second, and is now 13th at the time of recording in Formula 3 Championship. So a lot of longevity there. Not an awful lot of improvement from one season to the next. And makes you wonder why he in particular was singled out from one of the Formula 3 and Formula 2 drivers potentially to be the first one for Aston Martin in their Driver Academy. A little bit like the fact that they announced a Driver Academy after already having drivers in what one could argue is an academy. It's a bit odd.
The way they're phrasing it is they now have a driver academy and they have a driver development program, which is what Jack Crawford is part of.
Forgive us for thinking those might be the same thing.
Yeah, they seem like two
I'd
separate.
love to know the differences
Yeah.
that they've established here.
Jess Hawkins, I think technically she is a driver development coach now. Obviously,
It
Drugovich
just seems like a lot of ways to make your life more difficult for no apparent reason.
Yeah, and obviously, Drugovich is just like reserve, and Housman is just like there. It must feel bad if you're
Their
Housman.
F1 Academy driver.
Yeah, because you're just simply being. They put their name to you. It's not like Meyer Werg in Ferrari, who has actually had proper development through Ferrari's Driver Academy, and therefore was the sensible choice for that as their F1 Academy driver. The same with Abbie Pulling and Alpine. It was just a case of Aston Martin went, oh Christ, we haven't picked someone for
We need
F1
to
Academy.
choose,
It feels a bit like that if you're there now starting a driver development program. No, a driver academy, sorry, not the
I've
development
heard of
program.
development program. Pay attention.
Driver development is Jack Crawford. Driver academy is for Mary Boyer and I guess at some point Tina Housman, or do they just sort of wave goodbye to Tina Housman after the end of this
Well,
series?
that's the thing. They may just simply do what McLaren did with Bianca Bustamante and go, well, we gave you 2 years. You haven't lived up to our expectations as much as we would have liked. Sorry, not sorry. We're going to move on to someone else now, as many of the teams do.
Yeah, it's a baffling series of decisions, and I'm completely at odds with it. We'll have to see how it pans out at the end of the F1 Academy season as to what they do with Housman and quite what they decide to do with barely middle running Mary Boyer at this point. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, interesting times. Elsewhere, Carlos Sainz won't be running for the FIA presidency. This was a decision made by him, or was this a decision made by Mohammed bin Salim, who had sort of pulled that rule to veto people running against him?
That was just some news I saw announced or reported through motorsport.com and Autosport today. So, as far as I'm aware, it's Carlos Sainz Senior's decision, and this isn't a result of the of very questionable decision-making, law-passing attempt by Mohammed bin Salman. So it seems that he's done a lot of thinking and decided against it, which is a real shame for many a reason. And it's not immediately clear if anyone else will stand against MDS in this election. And you could argue that there's not much point because there's a lot of backing, for want of a better word, for MDS at this point in time. But that doesn't mean you should just not even attempt to do anything with it. And I would love for someone to just put their hat in the ring, even if they do lose, just to show and reiterate the fact that outside of the FIA, he's not a popular president. And just because you win, slash potentially win, an election, doesn't mean that you were a good candidate or did a good job the first time around. It just means that you were the only option. And that's not as powerful a statement as you might want that to be.
Yeah, it's an odd one because he hadn't officially sort of he'd been contemplating throwing his hat into the ring, had signed. So this was he'd never officially entered the race. But yeah, there'd been some interesting bits about Ben Sline. There's already been 36 racing clubs that have come out in support of him, which is odd. We also recently saw the Sustainability, Diversity and Inclusion Director, Sara Mariani, made redundant last week, and she had a very interesting statement attached to that. Let me see if I can find the statement because that was it.
It
In
was very much a read between the lines, and you don't have
Yes.
to do too much reading between the lines to understand what she's getting in there.
Yeah, her lines
And
were, "It is sadly time to say goodbye. I love the ride. I enjoyed every minute of it. I enjoyed the amazing work we did and my incredibly talented team. I did not expect it would end so abruptly, but life goes on. There is a life outside the FIA, a life where talent and dedication are rewarded, where women in leadership positions can thrive, feel valued, and respected."
sometimes I do just love politics for the wording. It's just so Downton Abbey.
Yeah, so she was made redundant on the 20th, so 5 days ago at time of recording. And yeah, so they're basically splitting up what had been her jobs and sort of shuffling it under a load of different areas. So essentially you sort of question sort of like what are they gonna do with all those roles, or are they just gonna sort of dilute them into other little sectors and hope no one does anything?
We are very much at the moment the cat in the overalls standing on the ice looking across the lake going, what are they doing over there? We're just not sure. And
Just not
we're not
sure.
going to be sure for a good while, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, she unfortunately joined the long list of people who've since left the FIA. Obviously, Robert Reid, deputy president, left in April. Past year or so, we've seen Paolo Bassari, head of compliance, head of audit committee, Bertrand Badre, committee member Tom Perves, chief executive officer, Natalie Robin as well.
Might I make a prediction then that the ethics will be the next to go?
I think the ethics
It's
will
already been
left.
watered down a lot.
I was going to say, I think the ethics have long since left the FIA, but that's an argument for a different
The
time.
ethics have left the building somewhat in other ways, but in terms of an official role that needs
Official
to be filled,
capacity,
I think it still somewhat exists.
it's still about to leave. But yeah, there we go. That's the FIA presidency. In other news, obviously the F1 movie premiered yesterday here in the UK. I haven't seen it yet. I might try and watch it this week or this weekend, and we can report back after the Austrian Grand Prix on it.
We could even do a little special episode on it as giving it a review, a non-spoiler first half and a spoiler-filled second half. Give the people a bit of both. Do it that way. We can get through about half an hour, I reckon,
I think
if we put
that's a
our
good
minds
idea.
to it.
I'll take my notebook and flashlight into the cinema, and I can write some notes as we go.
I'm sure they'll make you very popular.
Yeah, I don't actually also thought I probably won't do that. Elsewhere, more appropriately for the upcoming races, Ferrari are bringing upgrades, so they seem to be a little bit delayed. It's all
Is
around.
one of them a sledgehammer to hit groundhogs out of the way before you run them over?
No, it's rear suspension. From what I've sort of picked up and heard about, I think it's rear suspension, a bit of floor work. So essentially, trying to tidy up the rear end of the car. But it's sort of been a bit delayed. Fingers crossed that they get it sorted in time for the British Grand Prix and the race after this one, because that would allow Lewis Hamilton to continue his streak of being on the podium at the British Grand Prix.
I dare not dream that big twice in 2 years.
Yeah, it was a
I
big
just
dream
don't
last
dare.
year. We'll see what happens.
I know, I know.
But yeah, Red Bull have also got major upgrades too in a final move before they sort of shuffle production over to their 2026 schedule. So some interesting times going on there from what I've been able to pick up news-wise. But otherwise, that's sort of all we've got time for. And we haven't really had, there's no real fun facts ahead of this weekend either, I don't think. So we'll.
I think McLaren, Ferrari, and Red Bull have the same number of wins at the Austrian Grand Prix historically, but that's about it off the top of my head. So here's hoping either one of those three wins and takes it outright, or Williams just comes along and decides I'll have that for myself, please and thank you.
Yeah, fact checkers in the comments, that'd be fun. Let us know your Austrian Grand Prix fun facts. Have you been? Have you got some fun facts from it yourself? Again, comment section, always grand. We'll move then into our predictions. And Timo, I'll start with your pole position prediction, please.
Really a bit rude, eh? But I don't mind that here as it's Austria Max Verstappen. I just feel like as strong as McLaren are, he does just find ways, and Mercedes do find ways as well, which would be nice segue for you in a moment, to just take it from them in qualifying. And Max Verstappen is very capable of doing that repeatedly in machinery that is most definitely subpar. So even with some upgrades or without some, I think he's got what it takes to get pole at Austria, and he'll be very popular for doing so.
Yeah, the sort of obviously Red Bull's home race in the Styrian Hills. He does have an ability to get 125% out of that chassis over a lap, and I think it's not an unreasonable prediction. Meanwhile, now free of the shackles of education, I think Kimi Antonelli is going to be sort of unleashed upon us in a new form, and I think we're going to see him on pole position with that Mercedes. It could be an interesting one.
It wouldn't be against it, and it just seemed the kind of thing that anybody would just randomly do out of nowhere. So why not? The Mercedes are talking strong, and they didn't do well on merit last year, but they did well out of the opportunities provided to them. So qualifying is a little chaotic. Maybe that's what Antonelli means.
Yeah, they're good at capitalizing on precarious moments. I mean, we saw that last race out. They were in the right position to capitalize on a
Oh,
few.
Antonelli definitely was.
Yes, yeah. So we'll see how that pans out for them. Podium position predictions. Timo, yours again.
Mine goes a bit of a two-hander with my world prediction. So part one will be explained here, with Jim Piastri is going to win the Austrian Grand Prix with George Russell close behind in second. And then Lewis Hamilton's going to just materialise into third place, and everyone's going to be quite happy about it.
I wouldn't be upset with that as an outcome because I think that would also do some interesting things for us championship order-wise. Certainly close up a few gaps.
And it's an all British podium in my eyes. I'm happy to adopt Piastri if he needs another country to add to his ever expanding roster of countries.
He's almost certainly got like some lineage to
If
British.
he's a 16th Chinese, he's got some British in him somewhere.
He's Australian. Functionally, they are all British. They're all
I was
convicted.
waiting for one of us to say this, and I'm glad it wasn't me.
They're all convicted British. Yeah, I'm joining you actually with the top two steps of my podium position predictions. I'm going to go for Piastri and Russell, and then I'm going to go for Antonelli in that third place. Essentially,
He's
sort
in
of.
your blood this week, isn't he?
Yeah, I've got a good feeling about it. It's Euro summer vibes, and he is very Euro summery, and it is summertime. So I don't know. I think there's something. So the Mercedes might be able to pull together this weekend and have just like surprisingly good race form. It'll be hot and they'll be able to manage their tires better, which they
Watch.
we
Well, I
thought
was going to say,
they might
watch
be
them
able
give
to
Team
manage that.
Penske a run for their money now.
Yeah, less said about that. Yeah, we saw them able to manage their tires in Canada quite well, and I think we might be able to see them pull a second feat of that in Austria if it's going to remain this sort of balmy and warm here in Europe at least. So fastest lap then, Timo. We've actually both been a bit awry here, but I
These
think.
could be world predictions in themselves. At the same time, quite plausible, and yours arguably needs it more than mine with recent race performance and weekend satisfaction. But I've gone for Nico Hülkenberg. He is on an absolute tear at the moment, doing things with that Sauber that we could only have dreamed of at the start of the season for him. So why not get a fastest lap? It won't give him a point, unfortunately, but it would give me one, and I'll be very happy with that.
Yeah, it would be. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we'd see a Hülkenberg fastest lap. I don't think it's
If
out.
you told me at the start of the season which is going to happen, Nico Hülkenberg gets the fastest lap, or he's going to overtake Lewis Hamilton at the Spanish Grand Prix out of one, well, he's obviously getting the fastest lap because the other one's not happening at all, is it? And look how silly I would have looked had I made that prediction. So.
You would have looked very silly indeed. I think, though, Alex Albon is going to get the fastest lap. I think there's scope for him to do it. I think the Williams is going to have an interesting technical package for this weekend, and they're going to be able to pull out a clever bit of performance. I think it's going to pay out for them.
Williams don't do badly around Austria either, historically. So, who knows? Who knows? But, I wouldn't mind. Oh, well, I wouldn't mind seeing it in this instance because it means Nico Hülkenberg doesn't get it. But if another driver were to get it, I suppose Alex Albon would be the worst driver in the world.
Yeah. Meanwhile, wild prediction. I'll start with mine, nice and easy. Double Williams top eight. I didn't get it last time around. I'm going
Trying
to
that again.
yeah, give it another
You're
shot.
going to treat this like my Carlos Sainz fastest lap. We're just going to adopt this as your world prediction from now on until
Yeah, it will happen eventually. Annoyingly, it has happened this season. I just hadn't predicted it.
it happens.
So I reckon that they can do it twice in one season. I have faith in you, James Vowles. Timo, though, your wild prediction. I'm going to ask for some explanations. Are you just expecting last year to happen again?
Not necessarily, but I'm not against it. I've said 0 points for Verstappen and Norris. They could recreate last year in a lovely homage, or they could have a little bit like last year, but they both manage to keep going and they just don't finish inside the top 10. Or they have a ding dong really early doors and they don't finish the race at all, and we're in for a proper interesting time of it, hence my podium.
Yeah, I think an interesting way for yours to happen wouldn't be they collide. They are colliding.
Both just have mysterious DNFs resulting to
No.
mechanical faults.
Well, they do collide, but it's not off of both of their driving. Someone else smacks into one of them, which sort of shunts them into the
Louis
other.
Foster comes
Yes.
into Formula One
Yeah.
and
Louis
says,
Foster
I've been doing
suffers.
this enough in IndyCar, I'm going to now
Yeah.
manifest this
He
here
suffers
and.
such a huge mechanical failure that it catapults him into the side of Lando Norris, also wiping out Verstappen in the process. It'll be something like that, which will be it'll be a pile up into turn one sort of thing, or turn four.
I've seen a lot of crashes in NASCAR lately where poor bastard involved is nowhere near the start of it. And it's just someone didn't turn left just enough at the right moment to have a knock-on effect, have a knock-on effect, have a knock-on effect. And then this guy's just minding his own business and he's gone. So maybe that will be how it happens.
Yeah, we'll see how it pans out. So that is the Austrian Grand Prix, all still to come this weekend. Obviously, Formula 2 and Formula 3 are back with a lot still to play
A
for.
vengeance.
Yes, yeah, there is a lot to be figured out still as the series roll on, and plenty of exciting racing from them. So keep your eyes peeled on the motorsports channels. We'll be back next week with a review of the Austrian Grand Prix, and if we can make it to the cinemas, a review of F1 Da Movie. In the meantime, though, Timo, where can people find you other than in one of the showing halls at your local cinema?
Well, yeah, it's quite. This week you'll be planning over on the Curves IndyCar, where we have a review up from Road America, which was an insane Grand Prix. And spoilers, somehow Alex Palou managed to do it again. And you can't even be mad because he's not even doing Max Verstappen 23 levels of dominance. He's doing his own kind, and it somehow makes you not mind the domination because you're just going, you son of a gun, how have you done that? But I'm impressed with you. If you want something written from me in the meantime, there is also an interview on Mike McCurb's Instagram page with Italian rally co-driver Giovanna Rojita. So go and check that out.
Lovely stuff. If you want more from me, obviously pick up the latest issue of Classic Car Weekly. I do a four test of the Lotus Esprit, an S1, an S2, an S3, and a GT3. Obviously, follow me on social media at Jesse on Cars on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. There'll obviously be photographs of my holiday coming up. Read Classic Car Weekly, subscribe moving forwards. We've got the podcast. And also, I think if you pick up the latest issue of Classic Bike Magazine, the one with Joey Dunlop on the cover, you can find my pictures from the Goodwood members meeting inside it, which was a nice surprise, and read the report from that. Obviously, that event itself was months ago, but they've only just got around to putting that page together. But there we go. More stuff from me if you want it. Otherwise, we'll be back soon with a review of the Austrian Grand Prix.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.